You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Where do you plan to be 10 years from now? Some people look ahead with uncertainty and pessimism. But the Bible teaches that with faith in God, you can live with certainty and hope.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O God of grace and Lord of hope, Thou art the refuge of the weary. The sin-cleansing blood of Thy crucified Son is the only hope for thousands of burdened and guilty consciences. With the enabling Spirit of Thy holiness, O Lord, cleanse the sin-infected chambers of our hearts. Lead us unto sincere repentance, make us new, and give us a powerful transfusion of new hope and new life. Not because we deserve these blessings, O Lord, but we throw ourselves completely on Thy mercy. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray. Amen. Survey after survey reveals that people are increasingly afraid of crime. They are also disturbed by what they see as a steady decline in traditional family and moral values. This conclusion was reached by a prominent sociologist at George Washington University. In addition, in a special report, the opening paragraph of a major news magazine stated, "Rarely in the post-World War II era has there been such a blanket of unease spread across our society. A nation is like a human body. When it becomes infected with immorality and paralyzed with fear, it proceeds to lose all hope. There is a parallel in ancient history to the situation of our times. 7 centuries before Jesus was born, God's people were confused. Surrounding nations shook their spears. Economic conditions were teetering. Sinful immorality was rooted in whatever turned people on. In this confusion, the faithful were discouraged. Why even live, they thought, according to human standards? There was no hope. Previously, Israel and Judah had enjoyed great prosperity. In fact, King Uzziah's reign is often described as the most prosperous time for Judah following the disruption of the monarchy after Solomon's death. But then things began to change. Assyria threatened. The leaders of God's people made the most serious of all terrible mistakes, and we often do the same. For security, they depended on the might of men instead of the power of God. And this was the beginning of the end. Judah became a satellite state of Syria. The Assyrians captured Damascus, the annexed part of Israel. Ungodly alliances were made with Egypt, and confusion was the order of the day. Discouragement and despair set in. For the righteous and the God-fearing, there seemed to be no reason to live. There was no hope. Then, however, into this dire and hopeless situation came the prophet Isaiah. He was sent by God like a piercing light in blinding darkness. Isaiah was a herald of hope in a desert of despair. Through Isaiah, God proclaimed, "Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with an anxious heart, take courage and fear not." Truly, oh truly, Isaiah's words of consolation and encouragement are desperately needed even in our generation. As we search for security, let's consider this. Isaiah, the powerful prophet of royal blood, offered no simple solutions. Isaiah promised no golden chariots or Cadillacs of that day. He guaranteed no life of affluence, no easy living, and no bed of roses. Isaiah pledged no immediate utopian conditions. Nevertheless, however, within his stern message of realism, there was cradled a certain hope. It was a living hope. It was a reliable and living assurance for the heavy heart. It was based not on the here and now, but on God's ultimate salvation and restoration. It was not a quick fix, but as God's Spirit gave them faith in their redemption, the heavy hearts of the weary people were greatly uplifted. In this same way, let's always remember, even today, that God's plans for His people are not simplistic. They are never instant panaceas. God's plan in love is from eternity and for eternity. The present may be a turmoil, but in God's eternal plan, there is always hope and a reason to live. Frequently, you see, we are pressed by emotions. We are blindly driven by our many immediate self-centered desires. And we don't always understand God's ways for our life. We are hopelessly self-centered and self-serving. We think that if God loves us, He must always give us precisely what we want and exactly when we want it. God, however, does not operate this way. He is not like mortal men. His grace is different. And it is best understood by observing terminal cancer patients who live in the hope of the resurrection. No immediate help is available. They realize that for them, this life is finished. And yet their heart, rooted in the hope of the Easter resurrection, frequently overflows with deep peace and great joy. Or consider some prison inmates. They are locked up for life. The judge frequently stipulates that there is no opportunity whatsoever for parole. Yet some of these same prisoners who have absolutely no hope of parole, but trust in Christ, are frequently happier and possess more hope than many other citizens living in a free society. Outside of Christ, no matter whether we are in prison or whether we are free, a living hope can never, I repeat, it can never truly exist. This is shown by a convict facing a Maryland gas chamber who stated, and I quote, "I put my life in one hand and death in the other and weighed the two. To me, death is my only route to freedom." Maybe you today are not terminally ill. Perhaps you are not in jail for life without parole. But you might be a victim of an unhappy home or a difficult marriage. You may have no real friends in this situation. God's love and mercy can give your discouraged soul a powerful, throbbing transfusion of glorious life and hope. You see, Jesus was indeed dead on the crucifixion cross of Calvary. Now, however, Jesus lives, and His resurrection power pulses in the new and cleansed heart of every believer. Those who turn from the security of this world and trust only and alone in Jesus, they walk with joy and boldness in the newness of the resurrection life. Oh, conditions surrounding you today may be a living hell. Friends may turn against you. Money for rent and utilities may not exist. Your health conditions may seem never to improve, but only to get worse and worse. No one seems to want to listen to your pleas for sympathy. And yet in your anxiety, listen closely to Isaiah the prophet. He is speaking for God. Hear what God is saying to you as God encourages the exhausted. God strengthens His people, and He says to those with an anxious heart, "Take courage and fear not." Has it ever occurred to you that God may be using you in your problems, in your illness or in your loneliness, or in your days of adversity as a powerful witness to reach those around you? In Christ's place and for Him, you may be suffering to reach others. If this is the case, then count it a glorious privilege to be numbered among the saints of past generations. Oh, let us always seek the spirit of the early church. In Acts chapter 5, we read about the early Christians after they had been viciously persecuted. This is what it says. The Bible states, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing." Imagine, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And listen again to the words of Jesus recorded in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me." Again, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, "He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake, shall find it. Sadly, in our era of affluence, we erringly think persecution existed only in centuries past. Yet a few days ago, I received a copy of a stunning newspaper story. It appeared in a Midwestern state. It described the trip of an elderly lady who went to visit her relatives in Siberia. These relatives had previously enjoyed a decent life in the Ukraine, but in World War I, they were disrupted. And by the thousands, they were shipped off to the cold, desolate, windswept area of Northern Asia. According to the newspaper, these helpless people were taken to a very remote part of Siberia, and by the thousands, dumped off and left to survive as best they could. Their suffering was more than most of us could ever comprehend. Now, decades later, they continue under great difficulty. These families live in small earth homes. There is no central heating and no indoor plumbing. Cooking is done at the fireplace in a brick oven. Coarse dark bread is their only staple food. Meals are almost always potatoes or rice. Only occasionally is there a small bit of meat. For a recent family dinner, one duck, a rare treat, was divided among 19 people. These families have no refrigerators, no ice boxes, and no canning equipment. At one time, things got so difficult, they had to make soup from grass in order to keep from starving. When told of the food in the grocery stores of the United States and Canada and Western Europe, they just could not comprehend this. Asked if she would do it over again, the lady who made the trip to see her suffering relative said, "No, it is too depressing," she said. "It is too hard to see them living like that. The next time the devil tempts you to complain, count your blessings. Rejoice that you have adequate food. The majority of the world could not even begin to understand that one of our society's greatest concerns is being overweight." That's right, being overweight. Imagine this. We ought to be embarrassed and ashamed. But thank God for the place where you live, even if it is not the most luxurious home in the entire neighborhood. Praise God that He has provided modern hospitals furnished with the latest life-saving equipment. Most people in the world don't have these things. If you are today in a rest home, thank God. Thousands of people in the world spend their last days in the squalor of a hut. Most of all, however, let us thank God every day that He has given men everywhere without regard to race a living hope. In Jesus Christ, the hearts of the suffering, in the windswept plains of Siberia, and in the huts of the South Pacific, are comforted, truly comforted, by the love and the mercy of God. They truly understand the words of Isaiah, "Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the people." A homeland can be destroyed by invaders. Material wealth can be easily lost overnight through flood, fire, or theft. Yet the living hope offered to all men in Jesus Christ can never be removed. It is based on the Savior's immortal words spoken as He hung in victory on the crucifixion cross. Jesus cried in victory, "It is finished." Yes, He said, it was all finished. He had paid the price to redeem us from sin, from death, from discouragement, and from despair. On this blood-stained and cruel cross of Calvary, the debt for all sins was paid. Through the innocent death of Jesus, the prison doors of hell and death were unlocked. And in the Easter morning resurrection, the gates of heaven were flung open. In the midst of your present trials and worries, receive by faith the living hope that God is offering to you in the sacrificial death and the triumphant resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if trouble surrounds you, adopt with great joy the word St. Paul spoke to the Philippians. For you, it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Yes, when life seems weary and when living is a burden, then meditate and pray concerning the days of the prophet Isaiah. The suffering people were given hope. They didn't expect instant luxuries or physical comfort. Their hope and their joy was grounded in the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It had to be that way. All hope for the present had been destroyed. The future was the only thing that they could count on, and the future was based solidly on the grace and the love of God. Oh, today live with that same hope and be realistic. There will always be wars and rumors of wars and all types of anxiety in this life. But the grace of God in Christ Jesus is like possessing an unquenchable light in a dark room. So also, God's assurance drives out the demons of discouragement and despair. The terrible price for your sins has been paid. Jesus died, the just for the unjust, so that He, our Savior, might bring us to God. In Jesus, you can possess a new strength and a clean heart. Your Redeemer offers to renew a steadfast spirit within you. Yes, Jesus will not cast you away from His presence. And Jesus promises to never withdraw His consoling spirit from your heart. Oh, don't doubt. Simply and without reservation, trust in the sin-cleansing and life-giving blood of the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. In Him and in Him alone is certain hope. In His resurrection is your future. And He has promised, as He did for the weary in Isaiah's day, His grace shall restore to you the joy of His salvation. Believe this today and live with hope. Amen. It shall be so, O Lord. Amen. Amen.